Okay, we should be good.
I'm still waiting for it. Okay, there it goes.
Do you see it? Mm-hmm. Okay, because that would suck. Go ahead and walk us in, bud.
Are you sure?
Dude, I'm so tired. Go ahead.
Fucking do it.
Just go.
All right, so here we go. Tonight is a great evening. It's not only the beginning of something, it's also the end of something. We have two heavyweights. One that cannot hold his drink. The other from the big city. Please welcome Artemis and Brooks. Welcome to the show, my brothers.
What's up?
On, like we haven't been talking for 20 minutes.
No, that's an illusion. Nothing exists before this.
Everything's fine. I'll edit it.
You should like do it. Do the whole interview, then at the end, do the intro.
You want to do it? I will send you everything you need.
I'll just do a cut and paste.
I know, that's what terrifies me.
You should be afraid. So how do you want to do this?
I don't know. Who wants to go first? Brooks, I'm going to let you go first. Okay. So let's talk about the remixes.
Oh, the Chaos remixes?
Well, the songs you sent me.
So the remix is on there. So Raleigh Revisited is a Brooks of York and Somnatech collaboration. And if y'all don't already know, Artemis is friendly with Somnatech. That's a
very friendly. Ego.
Yep.
All right.
He loves himself. Yeah.
Very sticky.
We're it's a love scenario. So it was kind of a to call it a remix is I mean that's probably what most people would, but we kind of went with Revisited because it was like a revisiting of the original song Raleigh, which was instrumental, which like I heard it the first time. I was like, this is fucking great. Like I want to do something with this. But like restructured it, added vocals to it, added like some guitars, some like minor programming, but for the most part, like kept the instrumental very true to what it was like foundationally, and then added vocals and like kind of like some auxiliary stuff on top of it, and that was a ton of fun. Like I started like singing along to it when I first heard it, and then when I got a little brave, I was like, hey, what would you think if like maybe you know we did like something with this? Is that cool? Because he had made mention a few times that like it was a song that was very near and dear to him, and like I totally get the idea of like, you know, you create something and if it's super duper special, you don't want anyone to come in and mess with it. So I felt, you know, very like honored to be able to go in and mess with it and turn it into, you know, kind of a pop vibe.
Yeah, that's my favorite one of the ones you sent. I listened to it like three times back to back.
That's my least favorite of the ones you sent.
You just want to be obstinate. Don't fucking listen to him.
Hey, So no, I'm just kidding. I did like that one. So you did not write any of the music on that one?
I laid some, like there's some guitars on there, so I wrote those. But yeah, all like for the most part, I'd say 99% of the rest of the instrumentation that's all Somnatech. So I really just sang over that and like moved some things around. You know, I'm like, hey, here's the verse and here's the chorus, copy paste kind of deal. You know, probably like reinforced some kicks here and there, but you know, I didn't want to mess with it too much. There's like a small bridge-ish section in there that I added, but it's again, like if you listen to the original, which I probably should have sent you that, and I guess I can send it to you guys, but if you listen to the original and then listen to this one, you'll hear how they're connected and how similar, you know, like and almost verbatim the instrumentals are.
Let's talk about those lyrics, because some of those lyrics are pretty fucking deep, dude. One specifically, am I gone or just evolved? What's this about for you?
It's the loss of a relationship and kind of like, I think for anybody who has like cut ties with anyone who's near and dear to them, whether a friend or family member, this kind of references that. It also kind of like treads that line of not having to stay within the confines, you know, people's like, you know, presumptions are what it means to be this kind of person or that kind of person, which that for me was kind of wrapped up in why the exit happened.
So let's talk about your part on that, Artemis. Let's talk about that. Sorry. At the end of the year and we're all like half dead. So apologies in advance.
No problem. So I really like Raleigh Revisited because it's one of my favorite kind of pieces where It kind of came and evolved over time. So when I first started making music before all of the TikTok stuff and all the comedy stuff, I was making music under the name Somnotect, and Somnotect was more of a studio. It wasn't really a persona. It was more of a universe of music. And so while I was practicing, trying to get better at putting stuff together, I was just making just instrumentals essentially. And a lot of these instrumentals kind of stayed on my hard drive. And we didn't do much with them. And then obviously all the TikTok stuff blew up and I started doing chaos and I kind of pivoted over to the comedy side. But this stuff just kind of sat there for a while. And so last year I got out of a pretty bad breakup. And so I was sort of like questioning everything. At that point, Saddy Daddy-O hadn't taken off. Chaos as an album was pretty much in my mind a failure, like nothing had really taken off yet. And so I was just kind of looking on some sort of project, and I went back into my hard drive and I found all of these songs, these kind of instrumentals that, you know, were incomplete, but also finished in a way. So I decided to put them together into a series that I call Distance. And right now there's about 4 volumes of it, and there's another one coming out soon. Of just like these instrumentals that are based on places or memories that allow the listener to kind of fill in their own experience. So Brooks and I have been working on stuff for a while now. And, you know, like most of our collaborations, he has messaged me and said, hey, like this song, I hear something and I want to do something. And I was like, let's hear it. Go for it. And so he sent me some drafts from it. And, you know, we had talked about, he had heard what the song meant to me, because I did a whole commentary on one of the cassettes I released of Distance and talk about how that song, Raleigh, was about sort of a similar vibe of like getting out of a relationship and not understanding why it ended, not really knowing what happened. But I kind of left it blank. And so when he sent me the first draft back of what he was thinking of it, it made sense to me. And I couldn't like unhear it at that point. So I don't know. It was really cool to make an instrumental and not have lyrics and then have somebody else listen to it and kind of arrive at the same place that I arrived at making it. That was a lot of fun for me. So yeah, we just kind of talked about like, what do we call this? Is it a remix or is it like revisited? And I was like, I love that idea. It kind of plays into the idea that, you know, you can go back to a city or go back to a place and kind of like go over everything that kind of happened. So it played perfectly into the thing that I was working on.
And is there going to be more of this collaboration to come? Because I really, probably. Really like that track a lot.
Yeah. Brooks seems to be like really he gets Distance in a way that, you know, not many, like there's been people before that have reached out to do like collabs on Somnotect stuff, but Brooks and I have been working together so long that he kind of gets where I'm going with a lot of stuff. So I doubt that there won't be more Somnotect and Brooks collaborations in the future. We've kind of already been talking about some of them.
Other than you guys just kind of immediately getting each other, what do you like most about working with each other?
Yeah, Brooks, tell him how great I am.
Yeah, do it.
No, I was having this conversation with Artemis the other day, kind of talking about, you know, why things work so well. You know, for me, like, while it's not a job, I do kind of look at, like, where I'm at in, like, my job that allows me to, like, live. And in that scenario, I'm constantly having to convince people of the right idea, constantly having to sell them on something. Whereas over here, I'm like, hey, I've got this idea for something. Here's a rough draft of it. And he's like,
yeah. Yeah, that sounds great. Go do your thing. What I like most working about with Artemis is that he does allow me a lot of, you know, room to move, creatively. And, you know, if he doesn't like something, he'll say it. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of inherent chemistry in what he does and what I can bring to the table and help kind of support what he's doing. So it's been a lot of fun. There's some stuff, you know, like constantly in the works. So I don't know. It's exciting. And I'm one that's like, hey, if you don't like it, say something. And he's like, I will let you know.
Okay. What about you, Art?
Brooks sucks. I hate him. No, I'm just joking. No, it's like Brooks sucks. That guy.
God, that guy.
You know, he's a fucking drummer, right? Fucking drummers.
I am a psycho. Who has at any given, like one of the things that's made me incompatible with ever really finding like a desk job or doing, you know, creative stuff
you know, at a salary job, is that the way that I think about things, or the way that I'm constantly juggling stuff, is very sporadic. You know, some days I'll wake up and I'll be thinking about like the larger scope of chaos and where we're going with it. Then other days I'll wake up and I'll just be like, you know, how do lighthouses, who invented lighthouses? You know what I mean? Like, I'm a very distracted, like,
person. So you have ADD.
Yeah.
Yeah. Completely. It sucks, doesn't it?
And the worst thing that happened is now that I'm full time, like, there's nothing stopping them. I'm just full time.
So you get to bounce. You could do whatever you want. You're like, shiny.
Right. What's great about that is it allows me to kind of think of stuff that's like random. So where that plays with Brooks is that, you know, Brooks shows up and he's someone who's very like experiments and is willing to try new stuff, but is like very structured and is able to understand that I will maybe have like 2% of the answers and that the rest of it is open for interpretation. And most of the stuff, almost every single time that we work on something, like there was a case on this out, we just collaborated on our, the first Chaos, like Christmas album. Yeah. And I knew that he would be the perfect person to sort of do it with me because he would be able to sort of manage it and also have ideas of his own and go in different directions that I can't really go from my experiences. But there was this one situation where I sent him an early demo of a song that was maybe like 10 minutes old. And then he sent it back. And when I sent it to him, it was missing stuff, but like random niche stuff. It was missing like some fills and some like reverse risers. And he sends it back with his verse ideas. But like, he also just put in all of the stuff that I was missing. It's like he's like, operating off of the same. Like, I was like, dude, what? I was going to add that. And I'm like, by the way, can I have that sample? Give it to me. So I think it's hilarious that I started off in my musical obsession, like really liking like sort of ethereal sounding synth pop electronic stuff. And then I kind of evolved and moved in a different direction because of where my career was taking me. But because Brooks is essentially the artist that I wanted to be, there's like a lot of shorthand that we have back and forth that we don't have to talk about because we both are inspired by the same people. We know exactly where we're going with stuff. And even times when he sends me stuff that I may not even fully understand where it's going, I trust his taste because it's the same taste as mine. And so that has been something where it's like, it's so, Brooks will tell you, like, the way that we collaborate is so effortless. I couldn't believe how fast together we put that Christmas album. Like, some people were like, oh, you guys must have been working on that for 6 months. I'm like, dude, we really only started it about a month before it came out. Like, we were pitching ideas and putting stuff together, but we really put that album together in about a month. It's kind of insane.
Thank you.
In a month.
In a month, yeah.
Wow, and I haven't finished a song in a year. All right.
Listen, everybody's different. We just hit a stride, and then we kept making stuff, and then we got rid of ideas, and we just got into our
so you're like zone. You're like musical soulmates.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
Yeah, you just get it. That's really rare to find, actually. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It was funny too, because I was telling the mages, my moderators, basically my street team. I was telling them about that. We were talking earlier about later, like, where did he come from? I'm like, I don't know, but he's basically what we've like been needing. Like I've worked with like about 24 artists at this point, and I always told myself, like, especially when Chaos got started, I was like, okay, this is a very like angry, dark, evil sort of, you know, look into some of these things that's trying to make it funny. I'm like, one thing that this universe is going to eventually need is someone who sort of is still dark, but kind of steps into the light every now and then to kind of pull this into more of a cinematic space. So I always assumed that I didn't have the answer, but I knew that was going to show up eventually. And then this jackass just shows up like, hey, my name's Brooks. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize it would be that easy.
Artemis, what's it like to work with someone with that voice? Because he has an incredible voice. He does. I mean, every time I listen to his voice, I'm like, holy shit, how does he sound like butter?
Yeah.
How does he sound that good?
What is your thing with butter today?
I don't know. It's great. Yeah, other than salt and sugar, it's one of the greatest substances ever created. But yeah, he has this great voice, and it's incredible voice, because now I've heard it like on three types of different formats. And so the way he's able to adjust to different, slightly different genres, but still keep that sweet sound, it amazes me. Cause like, if I had someone like him that goes, hey, I want to work with you, and I'll sing because everyone hates how you sound. And he sang for me. I would be like, oh my God, his voice is just incredible. I mean, I don't know if anyone else feels that way about you, Brooks, but I think your voice, there are very few people that have, I don't know what, it's almost like a soulful thing, and you have sweet tone. You're able to stay in the sweet spot of your voice. I mean, and it's not like a narrow one. It's, you have a robust kind of palate.
I feel like you're saying you have a crush on Brooks, which is fine.
Oh, we all do.
Oh, I mean,
yeah, we all do. Point. How does that feel? Do you understand how incredible it is to have someone with a voice like that coming to your aid?
Yeah, it's to sum it up in one word, it's annoying. Like, you know, it's one thing to like that I definitely don't take for granted, because there's several times now where I've just been like, all right, this needs backing. And before I was like, Brooks, this needs Brooks. All right, Brooks, hey, can you add some backing to this thing? But it's also been great because, you know, the vocal style that I've been working with for sort of my darker universe is not in that same flavor. So having that option to like bring songs to that sort of angelic, like ethereal sense has been like amazing for the music itself. My favorite example of how it's even making me like it, that's the other thing too, is it's actually making me a better musician. There's a moment in one of the Chaosmas Christmas songs we did. It's Scissors. It's the one about,
oh yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, using your wife's or girlfriend's or your mother's fabric sewing scissors and cutting paper. Oh,
my grandma would have killed me.
It. Yeah, it's a song I've been like writing in my head for like about a year now, and I've been teasing the idea, and like I finally got about to writing it. And so when Brooks was going to work on it, I was like, okay, perfect. We have my buddy Blackish Mage is on it. We're going to have Brooks do some backing vocals because it's just going to bring it to that other sphere. But there's a moment during his verse where we went back and forth like 12 times sending different options. And when I sent him the instrumental of his verse. Then he laid his verse over it, and then he sent it back to me. And the second he sent it back to me, I was able to pull up my cello plugin. And there's a point, if you listen to at the end of his verse, where he like finishes sort of line and then cello comes in and just goes, nah, like it goes with him. Like I was only able to hear where that was supposed to go because of his vocals. So I think we've gotten like really good at like not like crowding each other by putting extra noise and sound, but like I see what he's doing and I'm literally just taking my hand and like pushing it up a little bit. And his song, his voice does the same thing to our songs, where my verse is literally there to kind of contextualize the song, get to point A to point B. And once we've established the kind of story, his vocals are kind of pushing the entire song up by elevating it. So I think having his ability in all spheres of music has been great for me, because it's allowed me to hear music in a way that I wouldn't have heard it before.
And then my second question.
Yeah.
Brooks, what's it like to work with someone who can generate about 30 ideas in about 2 seconds? And how do you manage that? As because
it's wild.
You're very it's methodic. And so there's a lot of intention put behind what you do. And so not that there's not from Artie, but I think you function more like I do than Artemis does. And so my question is what is it like to go to the well so frequently and you get like 300 different ideas and he's like throwing it up in the air and just go for it? What is that like? It's got to be incredible too on the other side.
Well, yeah, no, it's I guess for lack of a better description, it's kind of like a grab bag. So when there are multiple ideas at once, you know, his thing to me isn't necessarily like, I need you to work on these 5,000 things. It's like, here's a bunch of stuff. Like, what speaks to you? I'm like, oh, well, let's start here. Like, I like that. Like, that's cool. And then like, you know, if there's other things that come, but the reality is like, up until this point, it's mostly been like one or two ideas at a time. And usually, like, or I would say before this year, you know, a lot of what I did writing wise was just like hammering home a song, like, you know, 3 or 6 months at a time and then moving on. But like working with Artemis has been really cool. Cause he's like, you know, there's been a couple times when he's like, I'm going to get this out. Let's get this out. Like, you know, and like, all right, shit, let me do the best that I can. That's kind of evolved into like, I'll hear something and I'll get super inspired. And I'm like, sweet, let me just spend like 2 hours on this, see what I can make out of it. And then I'll send it back. And then that's when like the kind of revisions and redrafts kind of go back and forth, because we're both like super excited about what's going on.
That's a good answer. I think how y'all guys function psychologically really compliment stuff. I mean, y'all could be serial killers together, but you choose to do good things, so I think that's great.
I'm not writing that off.
Yeah, let's not rule anything out.
Yeah,
we got lots of hours in the day.
Yeah. Let's talk about Big to the Sky, which I know I've heard before. Did you see something different on this? Is this another remix?
No, this is
I didn't think so. The
first interview we did, it was just me. I think this song was about to come out, and I'm pretty sure I already gave it to you all. Mm-hmm. So that came out in June. But that for me was kind of like, if you look at the songs that came out before that, where it's like mostly guitar driven in terms of instrumentation with like electronic drums, that one you start to get a lot of like synth built into it, and that's kind of like the bridge of like where I was versus kind of like where I'm going. And like that synth remix, like that's kind of more the universe I've been working in lately. And it doesn't mean that like I'm just gonna work with synths, but I like Big to the Sky because it's kind of a bridge of those two, I don't know, styles or you know, blends of instrumentation. But the song itself is it's essentially like me talking to my children and kind of trying to shield them from the things that, you know, are like the negative things that make me that they don't really need to know about, at least not yet. Right. Because you learn more about your parents as you get older.
Yeah.
And depending upon like whoever's listening to this, like, you know, I think we've all had, you know, mixed emotions when it comes to our parents. And like some people kind of lay everything out there early on when you're like, you know, 7 or 8, and maybe you wish that didn't happen. And so I'm trying to make strides as a parent so that like I create a boundary, not to hold them back, but to kind of protect them. Cause like, you know, we all have bad shit that we went through, not to like, you know, demean or belittle anybody's experience. But in my opinion, based upon my experience, it would have been really cool. I was shielded from some of that stuff. So that's kind of like the idea of that song. And it serves as a constant reminder to me of like, okay, you're really upset right now. Maybe you should shut the fuck up and go take some quiet time for yourself.
Yeah.
me slow. Guess I try not to let go. But I might find the urge for
And like my wife does a very good job of hip checking me. By the way, Artemis, she also says you're welcome again today.
oh my God.
She's, his wife is basically responsible for everything. So she makes sure that she reminds us that.
Well, like, good for her. I like her.
I love it.
Yeah. So I don't know if y'all have the backstory, but like very quickly, she's the one who turned me on to his music. And
yeah,
so,
you brought that up last time.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so when I discovered Leave Her Alone, I was like, yo, do you know, like, she's like, you're an asshole, man. Like, I turned you on to his music. And so nice. When, as things progressed from like, oh, now he's following me on social to like, oh, he DM'd me, to like, you know, remix and like where we are now, you know, she does a good job of reminding me.
As she should.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse. That's only good. We got to get a Grammy now to make it hilarious. Like, oh, you're welcome, by the way.
She'll just be standing up at the audience with a sign.
No, we're just going to send her up to accept it. Hi,
just let her do it.
I'm here to accept the award because this is me.
I am responsible. All right, guys. Let's talk about one of these Christmas songs. Let's talk about Bitch Ass Santa, which, by the way, when you dropped that, God, I genuinely was so irritated because it wasn't even Halloween yet. Okay. And me and my daughter, who are huge Halloween people, were at Walmart because we're poor. And the Christmas stuff was up and the Halloween stuff was down. It wasn't even fucking Halloween yet. So is that why you wrote that? Were you feeling like I feel like they're trying to push us into Christmas? Like, let me have these two first. I could 100%. Skip Thanksgiving, but
yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, that's the thing with chaos is that it's mostly just about like listening and observing. So like, you know, we've all noticed it every single year where we're all just like, dude, why is Christmas getting earlier and earlier and earlier? So it's just like, I don't know. It's ridiculous. I knew that we needed to do something about that and do something sort of with it, you know, because it is kind of like one of my favorite people on the planet is Charles Dickens, because most of what we think about Christmas time wasn't always Christmas time. By the time that Christmas Carol came out, people weren't really celebrating Christmas the way that we know. And in fact, it had fallen out of favor. And it wasn't until he wrote Christmas Carol that he sort of reinvented, okay, what should Christmas be about? Okay, it should be about family. It should be about this. And so that story was a way to kind of like refresh it and reboot it. So since then, I think it's been like long overdue for Christmas to kind of be recontextualized and rebooted. And so, you know, one of the things we'd have to address is obviously the commercialization of Christmas. So when we started thinking about this album, I knew that there had to be at least one that doesn't just say, oh, we're talking about Christmas. We're talking about, you know, Santa's a stupid concept. And have we ever thought about Jesus? And we need to do that. But we also need to question the entire perimeter of the holiday itself. And that starts with Halloween. And so when we were talking about the track listing, me and Brooks, you know, we had already basically finished the song, and, you know, even the placement on the album is hilarious because I forget whose idea it was, but we basically were like, okay, Bitch Ass Santa needs to be like early on in the album, because it's like, okay, this is supposed to be a Christmas album, and it's even the album itself is dropping in like way earlier than it should. It's not dropping in December. It's dropping like a month or so early. So I don't know. Those are my favorite Chaos songs where it's like, it's something that you feel like you could have wrote, or that I'm like watching your life and I was like tapping your phone and I heard you talking to someone about how Halloween's basically dead, and then making it like a catchy song. Like, to me, those are my favorite kind to write.
That song to me is a lot of Artie. How, if you were to break it down into a percentage, you know,
it's mostly Artemis. So like, he sent that track to me, like that's his instrumental, like his concept. And I think he was just showing it to me. I was like, yo, can you please send it to me? I have an idea. And like, I sent back, you know, what's like my vocals for that, and went back a few times. But like, I'm definitely like support on that track. Like, I heard that instrumental. I was like, this is fucking fire.
Let's say you do rebrand Christmas. What does that look like?
I think it starts with kind of what I've seen everybody doing kind of presently. I mean, when I first joined on here, we were talking about how like, oh, how's it going for you? And it's like, oh, you know, holidays, it's like, oh yeah, that's, you know, I think it starts with the idea of just kind of acknowledging that this is not a good time for anybody. It is impossible for anybody to just hang up a Christmas tree, hang up stockings, decorate, and pretend like everything's fine without ignoring the state of the world, the state of politics, the crazy foreign affairs that are going on right now, the issues we're having within the country, lower minimum wage being at record low, billionaires dodging taxes, like the amount of stuff that is happening, it is impossible for you to celebrate Christmas and ignore all of that. So to me, what I think the next iteration of Christmas or even just this time of the year should be about sort of assessment and reprioritizing and finding ways to just kind of gently improve and get ready for the next year. I remember one of my favorite concepts when we worked at a grocery store is they practice the Japanese art of Kaizen, which is constant, never-ending improvements. It basically just means that if anybody that works there finds some small way to make everything more efficient, like, hey guys, I noticed that if we take the cardboard through the side door, that gives us more space over here to do that. It's okay, we'll do that now. And what ends up happening is over the course of years, all of those start adding up to an overall better system. So my idea of a new Christmas or a new holiday season is instead of trying to find ways to kind of decorate and quite literally cover all the problems up and act like we like our family members, finding ways to mitigate that and finding ways to make things better. You know, telling ourselves like, hey, there are certain family members I want to hang out with. There's certain family members that vibe. So why are we forcing the ones that don't vibe spend together? Why do we not celebrate found family, people that aren't related by blood more, the same way that we related by blood? The idea of a Friendsgiving shouldn't be like an ironic, kitschy thing. It should be like, right. No, genuinely, these are my friends and these are people that I care about. And it should be a time that you start looking at your health and saying, like, what do I need to do to make sure that at the end of next year, I don't have some of the health issues that have made my life difficult this year? Should I maybe take myself to the doctor? Should I take myself to the dentist? Should I get these problems that have been fixed? Find these little Kaizens to sort of help it. That's my very long, arty way of saying that I think that the next iteration of Christmas needs to be one about assessment and actually calling a spade and saying that this is what's going on. These are the people in my life that I don't really enjoy anymore. And I think this is the time to start thinking about ways to edit it.
I must be in a dream. It's still October, and yet there's red and green in every aisle, in every window seam. This bitch has Santa just stole my Halloween. I'm putting down tinsel and snow. Bring me jack o' lantern, spiders and ghosts. Got me waiting at the chimney with bones, broken skeletons.
I'm seeing St. Nicholas next to a pumpkin. That shit's so ridiculous. Grinding my teeth as I try to remember when Christmas was Christmas and not September. Why are the traffic lights covered in holly? Why does my coffee say I'm feeling jolly? My neighbors are watching the Home Alone sequel. House is lit up like a Catholic cathedral. Dressed at their party as Evel Knievel. Drinking their eggnog and praying it's lethal. I wanted a season with skeletons twerking. Goblins and demons and parking lots jerking. Give me the spooky and save all the merry. Before I give Santa a taste of the scary.
I must be wildin', I must be in a dream. It's still October, and yet there's red and green in every aisle.
The only thing I worry about is there are some people that Christmas is a magical thing for, you know, and so I don't want to take that from them, you know, but I understand what you're saying at the same time.
Oh, you know, you don't have to take the magic from them. You just take the bad people away.
Just because I'm a Grinch.
Well, maybe you're one of the people we take away. Well, but like,
okay, all right.
That is one of the things. I'm just giving you a hard way to go. That is one of the things that I wish I would have done with my daughter instead of making her hang out with this family that we don't even talk to now. They're like, I'm no contact with 90% of my mom's side of the family, and I regret nothing. But I wish I'd have done it earlier. But that didn't take away from Santa. That didn't take away. Like, we still do it.
Well, I think
do it. We just do it in our own little pagan way.
I think you are doing that though by acknowledging. I think almost everyone eventually does this, especially probably Brooks. You know, you look at what's going on and you pivot. That's what you just said right there, Renil. You pivot. That's what that song.
I waited too long, but I did pivot.
Nope. Yeah, but you can always wait too long. I mean, and it's a process of learning and figuring out what works. What, you know, what are you supposed to do as opposed to what everyone else's expectations are? And usually 10 million people have 10 million expectations, and you have to figure out, okay, which ones count, which ones don't. And if you're going through 10 million of those, it's going to take time. Because it's a learning process. And so I don't think you should. We get in such weird discussions when really y'all guys are around.
You said something in there. You said, like, you know, you're waiting too long. Like, and that's where, like, I don't know your situation, but like, I will say, like, I don't believe that there's a waiting too long. I think you finally get to a point where you know that something has to change, and then you do something about it. Because before you get to that point, you don't have like the confidence or resources or wherewithal, or like maybe all of it, not just you, but like anyone to change it. And sometimes there has to be, like, you know, it's some bad instances or like traumatic events to kind of go, all right, fuck this, I'm out.
Like, there was a death and then there was an election, and I went, oh no, I knew, but I ignored, and we're done.
No, I get it. I mean, like, I've cut a lot of people out. I'm a firm believer that, like, it's never like too long or too late. It's like, it's the right time for you. And like, hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah.
The person you are today, it's like, yeah, I wish I could go back in time and fix a bunch of shit, but I wasn't that person then. Mm. So, just saying.
Oh, but practice is good. You get better at it. You know, like, I built a speed ramp to that, you know? Mm. I'm really good at it now. As soon as it starts smelling, I'm like, don't let it hit you on the way out. Or I'll bring people, you know, when there are people that you recognize, the people that are worth their salt, you know, and you bring them in sooner. Chances are you're going to recognize people that are of substance and good people. And you can also see quickly, because of where you've been, what they may need and what is your role being in their life. What are you going to contribute to that? Y'all two guys, like me and Renil, there's a reason that even now, there's a reason all four of us are together. I mean, we have the weirdest ass discussions.
We really, like, this took somewhere. This got a little dark and sad.
But it's not dark. It's not dark.
Happy holidays.
I don't think it is dark, guys. I think it's just we're talking about process and learning.
And to kind of bring it full circle, I mean, like, this is part of the reason why I wanted to work with Artemis on Chaosmas. And by the way, like, at least from where I was sitting, it was never going to be me working on a whole album. I was like, oh, cool. Like, I'll do like a remix or two and then like maybe something else. And that'll be
interesting. And then Artemis was like, no.
kept throwing stuff at me. But no. Like, if you look at his song, Eggshells, like, that for me was like the kind of like foundational element on my end to kind of go, okay, how do you, like, what is this going to be? What does this mean? And within that song, it's like a call out of all the toxic family members in the room at, you know, in Artemis obviously jumping because it's your song, not mine, but like that's how I interpret it. Fucking great. And so like, you know, I tried to like kind of funnel some of that energy and some of the things that I put out there, and I was like, yeah, like this is, you know, maybe this album is less Christmas and more for the pagans. This album is less for the happy holidays and more for like the real holidays. And like, and maybe the conversation got a little bit dark, and maybe the album gets a little bit dark too. But I think it offers those who want to hear it a reprieve from the red and green and just like oversaturated Mariah Carey. She's great, by the way, but that fucking song.
After waiting and tables, and like, I can't stand her voice. It ruined her other songs for me. It did.
I mean, like, listen, because of that song and some of the other awesome things she's done, like, she'll be fucking rich forever. And like, Artemis calls that shit out on the record too.
I know, you know? Yeah.
And it's just like, it's like, yeah, this is it. This is the one for me. Like, you know, I'm gonna watch
making the retail workers.
God, yeah. I wrote it down.
Wishing they could fire. yeah, and it was just like you hear it, and you're like, yep, yeah, yeah, fuck,
yeah.
You know, and like what an amazing way to like reinvent, you know, what holiday music can be. That like there's like four or five songs, Artemis, you probably know this because you look at the stats, but like there's one playlist that's called Unhinged Christmas Music, and like and there's like four playlist. There's like four tracks on there, and I was just like, what a fucking great name for a playlist. And like, yeah, maybe this is pagan, you know, alternative or like unhinged. Yeah. But
what's kind of beautiful about the whole chaos thing is like, yeah, it's like conversations can get dark around the holidays. Like we just, you know, it happens all the time. And so what this music does is it gives them a way to have the dark conversation like between them and the song. And the song is saying everything that they want to say in a way that's catchy, and that they walk away from it feeling better than they did before the song started. So that's the other thing that I think Brooks really got about all of this, is that you can, in the Chaos universe, you can get as dark as you want. You can say exactly what's on your mind. But because we're doing it with the intention of the person feeling heard, it's always going to work. And that's why every single song that we work on, none of it seems to go off the rails, because it's all based on the idea of, you may not want to talk about this because it'll bring the whole mood down. You don't have to. We'll fucking do it. And you can just listen.
Just amp up on your way to that dinner, man.
Yeah. Guys, go into work, listen to these songs, like let us tell you exactly the way that you're feeling, so that you have a way to process it and sit with it. That's something other than you spiraling. Instead, it's on a sick beat.
I'll be honest. I think I've told you in the past where you turn a light on what's going on, but it's not in a judgy way. It's an approachable way. In my opinion, you're not condemning everyone. You're just throwing out an idea. Like, so for example, when the Grateful Dead used to play, and if you're familiar with them, they would play a different, they would introduce ideas, and then musically they would go along with that idea. I think that's what you do, Artie.
I get compared to them a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's your technique, it's your process that I think
I like awesome comparison.
Like them.
A pretty good one.
But yeah, you introduce an idea and then you put it out there for everyone to look at. It's up to them what they come up with. Brooks, you do this too, but you're, in my opinion, sometimes you're darker than Artie. So I appreciate that.
And he said he was lighter than him, but I don't know.
No, me and Brooks are both like, what did one of the mages say? There was like, it's like, you know, when you go into a browser or an app like that and you've got light mode and dark mode. Like we're both the same asshole Google Chrome. It's just one of us is in dark mode and the other one's in light mode. It's the same browser.
Right.
No, you know, some of the comments under the Christmas songs we've made have been great. You know, they've been saying it's like when I came out with Eggshells, I thought it was just kind of a silly kind of song. And, you know, but we've started getting comments of people saying things like, you know, I'm literally listening to this album, like flying home to my family, and like, oh my God, I think I can actually make it through it this year. Like that's the kind of stuff I like, where it's like you're saying, like I never really have answers. This music's really just supposed to ask the question in a way that makes you feel like you're not going crazy. Because if the pandemic did anything, it made everyone think like they're in a vacuum, insane. And so something that I think that we as artists have to
that's kind of like, you know, everyone's got responsibilities. Doctors are in charge of keeping us healthy. Politicians are allegedly in charge of protecting us. I think the artist's role in a post-pandemic world is we're supposed to reform some of the connections that were severed by all of this isolation. You know, the pandemic shoved everybody inside and basically said, all right, just sit there for a while and reassess and, you know, try to find a way to cope. And so coming out of it, we're all learning how to connect with each other again and get together. So I think artists, our job for the next, like, you know, ever is to basically find ways to connect everybody again and kind of bring us back to a point to where we're in the same room, even if we don't really agree. And I think that, you know, chaos can't do it by itself, but I think it is one little island that can help some of the people that are having what I would say to be maybe more extreme. But I've gotten emails over the last couple of months of people saying that, you know, they were on their last leg or they were, they've been deployed for the last couple of years. And, you know, Saddy Daddy-O or some other song was like, you know, got them through the day. And it's like, okay, so that's what we're doing here is we're just trying to reconnect people and bring them back to the same room kind of. So I don't know. It's been fun.
I think your songs, the goal should be, I'm going home to my family, but after hearing this, I don't have to. And you know what? I'm going to hijack this plane and turn it around.
No, don't hijack the plane.
Yeah, but you see what
but
I'm saying?
But I get it. Yeah.
That's the goal of it. You know, not that I'm going home and I can survive it. I don't have to.
Right.
I think there's that. I think there's also these, like, you know, I don't have to sit there in silence and kind of eat shit. I can talk back. I can fight back. And you know, like, at least like from my perspective, it's like, hopefully there's some verbiage in there that people can use and go, oh, that's how you say that. I'm going to use that, you know, and like, yeah. There's probably going to be some fights, but you know,
let it happen.
There's this like familial obligation, right? Like, we got to stay together because we're family. We got to hang out because we're family. And it's like, well, what the fuck does that mean? You know, it's like, what does that mean? Because like, if y'all don't like each other, why are you there? You know, or if it's like, if it's, and it ends up being this way that just one or two like really toxic members and everybody's like, no, it's the holidays. Like, you know, Uncle Jerry, it's just like, this is how he is. Just like, you know, fuck that. You know, that's what Eggshells was like for me. So like, so when like I got to come on and like lay down like verses, I was just like, yeah, fuck these guys. But like, you know,
it was fantastic.
It's just like, it's I don't know. Like, but yeah, like Brent, I agree. Like, I think, you know, hopefully people kind of go, oh, maybe I don't have to do that. Maybe I don't have to spend like $2,000 or $3,000 on a ticket to go somewhere where like, I'm not going to like, feel great. Yeah. And then it's like, you're going to be in debt.
I ran away from this place. Like, why do I go? Why am I going back?
So
invisible force is making me go back. Why? Because the calendar is telling me to. I hate these people.
So, you know, I hope it gives like people like a sense of empowerment and like independence of like, yo, I don't have to go do that. I also don't have to sit there in silence either. But, you know
I also liked it when you called Santa Claus Saint Dick. That was that was great.
That's my brother's. It's the nickname I gave my brother. I used to call him Saint Dick because he would always, I don't know, there would always be like something where he would like show up and be like, hey guys, I'm really not feeling this one thing. Like, oh, here he comes, Saint Dick, right down the chimney. Oh man, it's good. No, that was good. I liked. That's the other benefit to bringing Brooks on is that I've got obviously things I can pull from. When I originally wrote Eggshells, I very much had my father in mind.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up with two brothers. So, you know, there's a lot of things I can pull from. I make it a very clear point though, that the character that I play in all of the Chaos songs, is very much a character. And a lot of the times, like what he says mirrors my life, but he is someone who can sort of bend and morph and is in a lot of ways kind of like a truthful sort of demon that can just kind of become what he needs to. But that song was very much based in my real life. So the other thing that Chaos was always kind of missing was a perspective of a parent because I don't have children. So that's one thing that was really, really obvious the second that I was thinking about Chaosmas was that it's really hard to write a holistic, honest Christmas album without someone on board that understands what it's like from the side of a parent. And so when Brooks first sent me, he's got another song on the album called Marvin Harry, which I didn't, I wasn't really a part of it, but he sent me a demo of it And I was like, oh, you got to finish that. Like the first line, like, why are there dinosaurs at the bottom of the stairs? Like, what a great fucking question that I never would have even imagined. First of all, we didn't have stairs in my house growing up. We lived in a trailer. Second of all, same. Like, that is such a good, like, illustration of, like, the cognitive dissonance of being a parent and trying to understand, like, you know, trying to navigate the holidays from that standpoint. So, like, it made so much sense to me for him to be involved in that album.
All right, let's talk about one last song from Brooks. Let's talk about the I Got the Moon synth remix.
So good.
So good.
Like, it's a bop. It's so good.
I hope you guys realize he's going to get, like, beyond famous, and he's not going to talk to the three of us anymore.
I liked how you weren't, because your voice is beautiful. Like, we've all admitted to it. But I like how in this voice, you're a little, in this song, your voice is a little louder and a little more clear to me. And you really get to fully enjoy it. And it has this 90s vibe. And I just, I don't know, I liked it. I like everything you guys do. So I'm the worst person to interview you probably.
I don't know. We enjoy it. This is great.
Yeah. It's like, I come in here and get complimented. Like, no, it's
he's
it's
like, awesome. Yeah, boost yeah. that ego. Boost it.
So, hey, dude, you feeling down? You want to go talk to sound pollution?
Yeah.
You
get a quick fix?
Internet's been mean to me.
Sincerely, thank you for it. So, you know, I wanted to get more involved with synth work, and this year, like, a couple things happened, right? I started working with Artemis at first on a couple remixes, and then just, like, on a bunch, and that kind of pushed me to work with other software, namely Arcade from Output, and that's where, like, a lot of the samples come in, but they also have, like, a ton of instruments in there. And then around the same time, I discovered that one of my idols, who is no longer an idol for a couple reasons we don't have to get into right now, but he's on TikTok. And so there's a producer, this Timbaland, and I got to go on his I Do Live, where, like, he'll take your music and, like, he'll be brutally honest about it. And he was brutally honest, but you know, he did have, like, a couple valid points on there. He's like, love your voice, but, you know, amongst other things, was like, I don't get this music. And, like, I get it, right? Like, I'm not in, like, R&B and hip hop, and that's, like, that's solely his realm. But, like, I grew up listening to this guy's music and I idolized him and I loved his stuff. So it kind of got me thinking, like, all right, well, why don't I take, like, one of those songs that he listened to and try to pull it out of the genre it's in and put it into something else. And I didn't really know what that was going to be, but I was just like, I won't use any guitars and let's see where it goes. And that's kind of where the synth remix came from. And then once he started spouting off about putting a muzzle on Britney Spears, I was like, all right, I'm not listening to you anymore.
Oh, we're done with you now. Yeah.
But, you know, for me, it was like, you know, selfishly, it was like, all right, this was kind of an interesting interaction, because it, right or wrong, it got me to start thinking, like, okay, let's revisit some of this stuff. And, like, one of the things that he said and other listeners said on that live was that, like, they couldn't hear the vocals enough. And that's when I started going back and listening to stuff. And I'm like, okay, in, like, the indie realm, versus, like, the pop and R&B realm, there is a significant difference in where the vocals sit. And that made me kind of question, okay, well, where am I
and
trying
it's
to be?
Uncle Brent's pet peeve. He hates it.
No, you're good. You're
go
good.
Ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, but, like, it like, allowed me to, like, think outside of the box I was in and kind of go, okay, well, what do I want to do with this? And not that I write music to appeal to people, but, like, from a mix perspective, like, that's a very easy thing to fix. And if that's a barrier to entry to what I'm doing, I was like, okay, well, let's try it. Let's put out this synth remix. And, like, and, you know, and Sam does all my, like, you know, mixing, mastering, and some production. And I was just like, yo, we want them to be higher. Think, like, pop and R&B. He's like, okay. It was an easy thing. Cause, like, I didn't record any vocals for that. Like, it's all there. Stems from the original. Yeah. But anyway, that's the, probably the long of the long and short.
Was it heartache? A little more. I've been lazing head down for as long as you can recall. Pay off a pay. For it all. And when it started, I didn't know. I didn't think that you would show.
want to hit you, just so you know.
Do it for Christmas.
Knock, knock.
Get one bop on the noggin.
What were we talking about?
We were moving on to... Okay. Wait, I
redirect.
I believe Brooks was talking about him experimenting more with synthesizers.
Yeah. Thank you. Hey, raising Artemis, do you want to run the show? Because you're much more together than we are.
No, I just... Help. I'm falling with style. I don't know how to fly.
Well, that's a great Toy Story reference. Holy shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God.
What year do you think that movie came out? Go ahead.
No. My daughter was little. My daughter was little.
97.
Nope.
I think that's right.
Is it? It was before she was born?
It was a long ass time ago.
Yep. It was 1995.
Damn it. I was close, too.
She was close.
You were close, but I was closer. I said 94.
I thought it was 10 years later.
Well, like there's multiple of them, and also like when Toy Story came out, like it was way ahead of its time in terms of animation. If you go back and watch it now, especially if you watch like the 3 and 4, and you watch the first one, you're like, oh man, there's like it's a little rough.
Yeah. You look at the characters that aren't talking, stuff starts falling apart at the seams.
Yeah, but some of the dialogue in that show is just fantastic. Buzz Lightyear, that's like one of the best lines ever.
It's pretty good. My favorite is when he goes, "You are a sad, strange little man." And you have my
It hurts when they say that to you, too. Just a little bit.
Who says that to you?
No one.
Who hurt you?
I just imagine it.
Well, want me to help you right now? You're a sad, strange little man.
Well, I'm taller than you.
That's not hard.
Excuse you. I earned my height.
I am 5'4".
Did you?
It's a good height. It's a good height.
It's normal.
It's a good height. Thank Nothing you. Wrong with that.
But I most people are can... taller. That's fair.
Oh, man.
My daughter is much, much, much taller than me. And she'll walk up to me and just look down and be like, I'm bigger than you. And I'm like, you the fuck are not.
You know what's crazy? Like, you know how we call it a Napoleon complex?
Yeah.
You know that he actually was average height. He wasn't short. That was a smear campaign started by the enemy side just to annoy him because they knew how much he cared about public opinion. So they just started calling him short and drawing him that way until people were convinced that he was tiny. Because there was no internet to prove it otherwise. You just, okay, I guess he's short. He was average height. It's the most funny troll. We can't beat you on the battlefield. You're taking over all the planet, but we control you in the newspapers.
We could make you really insecure.
Fucking wild.
Sorry, random facts. Same thing.
I am not sure.
You know, we've heard that carrots make your eyesight better.
Yeah.
Not really. What happened was the British invented radar, and that's how they were shooting down enemy planes. But they didn't want the enemies to know that they had this new technology. So they started putting articles in their newspapers talking about how their military doctors were giving pilots 3 helpings of carrots a day, and it was helping their eyesight. And that's how they were able to see the planes, because they didn't want the other side to know they had this new technology that allowed them to just spot you in the middle of a cloud.
So I have a follow-up question. When are you going on Jeopardy?
Right? I'm telling you, dude. Random Jeopardy. Dude, there was a song on the original Chaos album that got cut. It was called Artifacts, and it was how I'm basically like a Snapple cap at bars, and I just make the vibe weird because everyone's having a good time. And I'm like, hey, have you guys ever wondered when Ferris wheels were invented? Just start going off.
Well, you know, if it gets awkward, they just need to drink more. It's kind of like coming to an Uncle Brent show. If we don't sound good, have a few more. Drink more.
I've heard him say it.
The more you drink, the better we sound.
You said that. Mm-hmm. I was there.
My God.
And I drank.
Yeah, you started before you even got there, though.
Did it work?
I don't know. Yeah. I was fucked up.
That's going to be me tomorrow. So I think I mentioned to you guys before that I have a Discord server that's been like my inner community.
Yeah.
So the server is actually shutting down at the end of this month. Kind of sunset that kind of era.
Aww.
So the server is going to basically become like a private server for me and like Brooks and other collaborators to kind of work on projects and start organizing stuff. But our event tomorrow, it's called Chaosmas, which was our Christmas event we did last year. That's why the album is named that. It's named after that Christmas event we did. And so we're basically going to be
It's going to be my whole community's there all year. They've been earning like raffle tickets. We've got like a big Tumblr. And so they're going to be winning prizes like my lyric books that are signed, my headphones that I use, the microphone that I use to record some stuff like that. We've got a bunch of stuff. So it's definitely going to, I'm definitely going to be hammered tomorrow because it's like our last like inner community stream party. So I'm very excited for that.
I wish this was coming out before then, but I'm not going to stay up all night and edit. I love you guys, but not that much. Okay. All right. Let's talk Death for Christmas.
Wait a minute. I liked Moon. I just wanted to say that.
You liked what?
Thank you.
I liked Moon.
I thought we were done with that. I'm trying to.
We're never done with that. Dude, no. I've listened to it 3 times today.
It is really good. See, I liked Rally Revisited.
That was a good one, too.
I listened to that
Dude, Brooks like doesn't make too. Bad music. I need you guys to understand.
I know.
He needs to make more good. You know, keep and Brooks, the synth, my, but guitar, my, guitar,
my
guitar, God,
let it go.
Guitar.
Not everything has guitar. This is our conversation.
Everything has to have guitar.
I love guitar. I play guitar badly, but I play guitar. Yeah. I love guitar, but not everything has to have guitar.
Yeah, we got 3 new Saddy Daddy-O remixes that got guitar. Did you check those out yet?
No, I don't think he has.
But I keep listening to the original, though. I mean, I just imagine it has guitars. That's how I get through it.
Well, you should listen to. I like it when you post a song on TikTok and then like somebody will come up with their own like drum line or guitar riff to it. Just random people. Yeah. That's one of my favorite things.
We made that one that they did canon. So there was that one where first a guitarist put something to it, then a bass player did that. So we actually contacted them and got all of their original stems and we put them together. And so on the new Saddy Daddy O remix album that dropped this week, there's like 10 songs, versions of it. One of the versions is called like it's by Brett Crow, who's a bass player on TikTok. Mm-hmm. A couple other those people right, from that right. video. We mixed all of it together. Brooks here kind of managed that. And it sounds great.
Hey, Brooks, I have a question for you.
Let's do it.
When do you fucking sleep, bro?
Please tell us.
Yeah, it's I'll be honest, like and Artemis has kind of see it come to a head the last couple weeks because I have forgotten some key information, but I don't sleep a ton. I would if my children would let me, but it's normally like a you get it. It's normally like a 12 to 4, 12 to 5 kind of thing with several interruptions.
Let's talk about Death for Christmas.
Nice.
That was the Mariah Carey line that I heard.
Oh yeah.
And I quoted the pudding line today and my friend didn't get it. And I was like, oh, you need to go look this up. She was like, oh, the Grinch. I was like, not so much. But yes.
God, that song was fun to write. That song was so fun. So like usually my writing process, I say it's like a Sudoku puzzle where I know, okay, here, there, that. Now I gotta figure out a way to get there and figure out a way to get that. I already said this here, so I can't say that. That one was different. That one was like I was just going back into some of the hip hop and rap I listened to, and I was getting back in some of the older Drake mixtapes that I really like. And I was like, you know, Chaos hasn't really had like a Drake style sort of like stadium anthem, giant horn trap song yet. I want to play around with that. So Brooks mentioned a program called Arcade. I went into there and I basically went into this package called Stadium Hits. It's basically a series of samples that it's like one of those RC Cola, like it's Drake, but they can't say Drake. It's those style songs. Mm-hmm. And so I put together that instrumental. I was like, oh, this is perfect. Horns. I'm like, okay, this sounds like, all right. So then I just played the song through, had a couple of drinks and was just playing around with it for like about 40 minutes of just coming up with lines. And it really just kind of flew together because I knew that I wanted to mention Mariah Carey. I knew that I wanted to say, talk about pudding and, you know, how much I didn't like it. I'm very like methodical with the way that I write and sticking syllables together. But that was one where I said, you know what, like for this style and this genre, I think I could take the pressure off of everything fitting together perfectly. Every rhyme doesn't have to be a new word. It could be a repeated word. And really just trying to imagine myself like on a stage with a Santa hat and sunglasses, 3 eggnog and rums deep, just trying to talk about what my experience was. And it just kind of flew together. And I wanted to make sure this actually reminds me of Leave Her Alone, where when I was writing that one, I was actually thinking about how it would feel to actually perform rather than how it sounds. And so I wrote Death for Christmas to be a fun thing to sing along to, as opposed to something that was like had like a secret message. So it was very much one where I think I think I had a lot more fun with it than most songs.
That wasn't a secret message in Leave Her Alone. There was nothing secret about that. But this song was like a sequel to Eggshells, I thought. And it was really good stream of consciousness. It almost sounded like. Mm-hmm. It didn't sound like you were like, okay, I need to put these lyrics together and piecemeal. It was like you sat down and either did it all or did it in very large chunks. Right. You know, I thought that Brooks had contributed a good amount to this too, because it sounded a little bit like him too. As far as
that's 100% Artemis. There's a remix, but no, that's all him.
No. Yeah. Well, and it's funny that you say that, because it was like you guys were talking about like Eggshells and like going around the room. One of my biggest regrets about the original Eggshells was that I was at the time only focusing on my experience with my dad. And so I was, after it had come out and it was getting popular, my biggest regret with it was that where it should have gone was it should have been he goes around the room and attacks everybody in the family. Correct. To make it more universal. Mm-hmm. That was my big, to this day, I still sort of regret that. So I actually took that concept and just said, okay, we didn't do it for Eggshells. Let's do that in Death for Christmas. So we'll set the whole thing up and just paint the scene. The planet's fucking melting. We're making turkey. We've got everything together. And then the second half of it is, okay, now I'm going to go around the room. My cousin's on my console. My sister's talking shit in the kitchen. So it actually was very therapeutic to finally, like, in my mind, finish Eggshells in Death for Christmas. So to me, I think they actually are part kind of one and two in a weird way.
Venom.
Yeah, that's a good word. Venom.
But they have the same tone and the same venom. I don't think you necessarily sound the same as far as, I mean, your vocal chain is similar, of course, because we know that's an ever adapting thing built off of. But the feel as far as I'm trying to say some shit and this shit shouldn't be happening and mm-hmm. this is ridiculous. You, that comes across pretty good.
Yeah, and shout out to another great thing is shout out to Brooks, because I think I had a good right before Death for Christmas came out first, and right before that I had a good 2 months where I was having like breathing issues. So another great thing about Brooks is that Brooks is really good at not just making music, but something I hope people see more of the more that they sort of dive into his work is like how good Brooks is at like just managing projects from like a, you know, sort of a larger scale. You know, because getting all of these songs together and making sure everything was on track, the Saddy Daddy-O remixes, like working with these other, like all 10 artists that we've worked with in the last couple of months has been mostly him emailing them and getting everything together. So that's another great thing about this album is that like our collaboration, the obvious part is the parts where we're working on songs together. Behind the scenes, like some of our collaboration is like super fun because we'll talk about like what's the album supposed to do, who we marketing this for, where it's supposed to go. So that's something where this coming year, I think that like, especially on my YouTube channel, stuff like that, I think I'm going to start giving people like larger glimpses into what goes into some of this stuff behind the scenes, because like that's where a lot of the Chaos Universe really happens is, you know, I had like 2 months where I was having like breathing issues. And so me and Brooks were trying to find ways to collaborate while I can't really do vocals. And you know, meanwhile, we're all already talking about the Christmas album and like what it could do and like who it's supposed to work with, and then us determining who to work with because we don't know who really understands this universe that we're doing. And then while all that's happening, he's still somehow releasing music under his own name with four kids. I don't understand.
And with a band and with four kids.
I don't understand.
Yeah. The planet's fucking melting, but we're making turkey. My family's talking reckless like they're trying to hurt me. They're asking about my exes and why they desert me. I know it's Jesus' birthday, but I'm leaving early. Shout out to our savior, shout out to Messiah. When I say Messiah, bitch, you know I mean Mariah. She's in the drugstores, got me feeling like pariah. She got these retail workers wishing they get fired.
Christmas is some peace and quiet. Don't ask me for no present, I didn't fucking buy it. Don't ask me about your pudding, I didn't fucking try it. You made that bullshit last year, I didn't fucking like it. My brother brought his girlfriend and her name is Margaret. She folds her hand in poker, hasn't seen her cards yet. My nephew's on my console and he's probably losing. He's fucking up my KD, now he's buying new skins. My sister's in the kitchen telling mom my business. My dad is watching sports and asking me what Riz is. He's telling me I'm 30, time to find a Mrs. Man, someone make it stop, I need some death for Christmas. Well, welcome to the holidays, welcome to the pain. Welcome to the nightmare, welcome to the train. Welcome to the toxic, welcome to the sludge. What'd you get for Christmas? I think I got a quarter. You can call it Christmas, but I call it penance. And every year we do it, but we all resent it. So let me bring some chaos to my favorite tenants. It's a Christmas album, bitch, I hope you like your presents. Welcome to the holidays, welcome to the pain. Welcome to the nightmare, welcome to the train. Welcome to the toxic, welcome to the sludge. What'd you get for Christmas? I think I got a grudge. Welcome to the holidays, welcome to the pain. Welcome to the nightmare, welcome to the train. Welcome to the toxic, welcome to the sludge. What'd you get for Christmas? I think I got a grudge.
Yeah, go ahead and do the outro.
Okay. See you later, guys. Hey, guys. Thanks for stopping and doing what you're doing today and just listening to us. That was Artemis and Brooks. They're just fun guys, and I hope you enjoyed hearing about them and hearing, you know, not only what they've done, but what they're doing and what they're thinking about doing. If y'all get anything out of this, please like, follow, and subscribe, because we want to share this with other people. We think we're contributing to the world, making the world a better place, one neuron at a time. Share with others. Reach out with others. Share with people you care about. Share with everyone. Whether they want it or not, share it with them. This is our last episode this year. Appreciate y'all sticking with us this year. For the newcomers, awesome. Catch us next year. For the people that have been with us since the beginning, even before me, thank you. We know it takes a lot of time to get through our episodes, and anyone that has listened to our stuff, we greatly appreciate it. I'm being given the signal to, I hear the music in the background for the Academy Awards. So anyway, like, follow, subscribe, tell people about us. And come back next year and we'll have a good time together. Thank you.
All right. And remember to make
some noise.